Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Koala, a natural history and an uncertain future. I welcome Professor Daniel Claude, a biologist in South Australia, whose new book about koalas have answered questions not only about where they come from — they're not bears, they're marsupials — where they come from, how long they've been adapting to the conditions of the Australian continent, even back to the time when it included other parts of the globe, but also what they've faced here in the 21st century with climate change, with natural disaster, and with people in their habitats. Professor, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. It is wonderful to speak of the koala, because all I ever knew was the advertising campaign back in the 20th century by the Australian Airlines. So now that I've met the koala, I want to go right to a chapter you help me understand what is very different about a koala. This is a marsupial. We mammals, humans, monkeys, everybody, every mammal around me here in New England is a eutherine. A marsupial does things very differently. So let us begin with the mating process of marsupials, koala males and koala females. It is springtime. September is your springtime in Australia. It is September, and you hear bellowing all around you. What are you hearing, Danielle? Good evening to you.
Oh, good evening. Thank you for having me, John. It's lovely to be with you. Yes, the bellowing of koalas is a really distinctive sound, and it confuses lots of people when they first hear it, because it's not a hugely attractive sound, it has to be said. But if you can, the best way I can describe it is to imagine the bellowing of the braying of a donkey. So if you make a donkey noise and you slow it right down, so it's really slow, and then you make it as deep as absolutely possible, that sounds like a koala bellowing. From the tops of the trees.
The bellowing is the male. The bellowing also is the male giving out signals about, I want to make sure I have this right, how big he is, how tough he is, and perhaps there's a recognition signal in the male, because you mentioned at one point there's evidence that koalas return to the female koalas return to the same male. So there's signals being sent out.
Quite possibly. It's not a particularly well-studied area of koalas, but there has been some evidence that females preferentially mate with the same male in their area. So it's hard to know. Koalas are very dispersed, so they live a long way apart and they're quite hard to track. So it is difficult to keep track of these things. But, there's some evidence of that. And certainly the male bellow is very much a signal of the size and health, I guess, of the male. So koalas are very good at judging size by the depth of the bellow and knowing that they don't want to pick a fight with a big male. So it helps them to keep their distance from each other and avoid costly fights.
Now, the female is in charge of this process. She is going to bear the weight of the child. So I want to get right to what is so distinct about marsupials. You have many marsupials. I've learned from you. You have marsupials whose names I cannot pronounce. Kangaroos I can do. Koalas I can do. Emus?
Well done, yes, okay. Emus.
Wombats, correct. Which look like a little bear, but they're not. Bandicoots, beltongs, dingoes, echidnas?
Yep,
echidnas.
That's right.
All right, and many more. What is distinct about them is the birthing process. They do not have a live, well, they do have a live birth, but it's not an egg. But the pouch gets involved very quickly. I never thought to ask myself how this happens. I always thought the little kangaroo came out of the pouch. You know, it's Winnie the Pooh's influence, kangaroo. Yeah. So
that's right. Yeah, the marsupials are really amazing. They're sort of like a completely divergent group of mammals. So they're mammals like us, but the two groups of marsupials and eutherians diverged very early in mammal evolution. So they're a completely independent stream of evolution, which makes them really, really fascinating for scientists. But yes, the baby is born. Marsupials give birth to their young extremely young. So they give birth when the tiny baby is only about the size of a jelly bean. So the size of your thumb, perhaps smaller than your thumbnail, you know, about the size of your thumbnail, perhaps. And that tiny little fetus is really only a mouth, a head, and two front legs. And it crawls its way, a little pink jelly bean, up the mother's fur and climbs into the pouch. So that's the birthing process, and then attaches itself to one of the mother's nipples in the pouch. And they attach so firmly that they cannot be dislodged, really, without physical harm. So they really latch on. In fact, early scientists thought that they grew out of the nipple because they're so firmly attached. And they will stay in the pouch. Effectively, the pouch is like an external womb for the baby. So it stays in there for almost as long as pregnancy takes in eutherian mammals. So we have a second birth when the young emerge from the pouch, which is equivalent really to the birth that other mammals have. Personally, I think that the marsupials are a far superior system of reproduction. Speaking as a mother myself, I think we really missed out when we opted for a different reproduction system.
Now, important to mention, they do this all in a tree, in a particular kinds of trees, because that's how they live. They live on the leaves of eucalyptus trees. We will speak of it great length, all the eucalyptus that are available in Australia. This is not only a different birthing system, it's a different ecology. Everything is new here.
Australia is very different from the rest of the world because it's a landmass that's been isolated from any other contact from other continents for a very long time. So that's meant that its biology is very distinctive and hasn't had great waves of invasions. North America has had successive waves of invasion from Eurasia and from South America over time. But Australia's been on its own for a long time.
Now, about the females, when they care for you call them joeys, right? The jelly bean is called a joey. They care for the joey over a long period of time. I think 11 months is what you said. So eventually the joey has to leave the pouch. How long does that take for the joey to come out of the pouch and climb onto the mother's back?
So the mother, the joey stays in the pouch for about 5 months after it's, you know, in the pouch. So it's not seen at all. So the baby first emerges, it pops its head out at about 5 months. And from there it will start to slowly come out more frequently and climb out of the pouch. But it still stays, it's still drinking milk and reliant on the mother. And then it's weaned off the milk and starts to eat gum leaves. But the whole process takes quite a long time. So the joey's climbs onto the mother's back. When it becomes too big for the pouch, it starts to climb onto her back and be carried around on her back. And they get quite big when they're being carried around. So and then for another 6 months, they stay with the mother. So they start to become more independent around 12 months, but they stay with the mother for another until 18 months before they're finally moved along. And that's usually because another joey has emerged from the pouch and is taking up the mother's time.
And all this is in the tree where they're safest. But you do mention at some point that they will come down to the ground with their joeys, and they will also, some elderly female koalas will seek to care for other joeys. Is that correct? They have affection for other babies.
They will come down if they hear a joey cry. So I don't know if they actually will adopt other joeys, but they will certainly come down and see what's going on. I know biologists can mimic young joeys and in order to call the females down from the trees. But I think that the big issue with koalas is that they're very safe. They're relatively safe in the trees. That's where they've got all their food. They're safest from most of their predators. But when they come down onto the ground, they're quite vulnerable because there's dogs, dingoes, cars, all sorts of things that are a risk to them, and particularly mothers with joeys. So when they're carrying their joeys, their big joeys, they can't escape as quickly, and so they're quite vulnerable to dog attack in particular when they're at that stage. So koalas will often try and stay in the trees and move from tree to tree where the trees are close enough together. But in areas where there's big gaps between the trees, where there's been development or roads, they have to come down to the ground more often, and that means they're at more risk when they do that. So, and particularly the mothers with young are at very high risk then.
I'm speaking to Professor Danielle Claude. Her new book is Koala, A Natural History and an Uncertain Future. It's a different kind of creature in a different kind of land. Where do they come from? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.